Good morning. We are in Mem Hei Amar Aleph at the Mishnah. Mitzvah Arava Keitan. How did they accomplish the mitzvah of the Aravas? Mokoyim Ha'ilamata Yerushalayim. There was a place that was under the Yerushalayim, that was lower than Yerushalayim. V'nikra Moitzah, and it was called Moitzah. Yordan Lishan, they would go down to there. Malakdin Misham, they would collect from there, would pick from there. Muravia Shal Arava, branches of Aravas, Ubayan, and then they would come back to the Beis HaMikdash, V'zoikven Oysan, like Zekef Kifufim. They would straighten them up and lean them up, Betzidi HaMizbeach, on the sides of the Mizbeach, Roshen Kifufin, and the tops of the Aravas were Kafuf, were bent over, Al Gabe HaMizbeach, on top of the Mizbeach. Taku Arubis Taku, they would blow Tekia, Teruah Tekia, Bechol Yoim, Akivin HaMizbeach Pamachas. Every day they would surround, they would go around the Mizbeach, Pamachas, one time, and they would say, Ana Hashem Hoshiana, Ana Hashem Hatzlichana. If you remember, we discussed that going around the Mizbeach, they went around with what? So Pashup Shana in this mission, of course, is that they went around with the Arava. But there was another opinion earlier that insisted that they went around the Mizbeach with their Lulavim. But be that as it may, when they went around, they said, Ana Hashem Hashiana, Ana Hashem Hatzlichana. Rehuda says, Ani Voishiana. That Ani, so Rashi, what exactly the word they saying? Ani Voishiana. So it's an amazing, amazing Rashi over here. And Rashi writes, the gematria of Ani v'hoi is Ana Hashem. Okay. V'oid, and then he has an extended explanation where he says, if you take the three psukim that have to do with Kriyas Yamsuf, and you have the psukim, each one of them with the 72 letters, and you have the first pasuk going straight, and the second pasuk exactly in reverse, and the third pasuk going straight, now you have three psukim that are aligned with each other, and if you take the series of three, so you have the first letters, and then from the middle, are basically all kinds of different names of Hashem. So Ani V'hoi is actually two of those matching three-letter names of Hashem from the three psukim that are matched up forwards, backwards, forwards. So over here in Kriyas Yamsuf is Merumas, is Roimez too, all kinds of secret names of Hashem, which included Emar Ani V'hoi. Apparently this is one of the names of Hashem. In any case, V'oisayim, on that day, what do you mean that day? Zokt Rashi B'Shvi'i, on the 7th day of Sukkot, what we call Hoshana Rabbah, the day before Shmini Atzeres. So on that day, Makivan Es HaMizbeach Sheva Pa'amim, they went around the Mizbeach seven times. B'Shas P'tiras, instead of one. B'Shas P'tiras and Ma'ino Imrim, when they P'tirasan means they left, like when someone is niftar, Rahmana Litzlan, it's called leaving the world. B'Shas P'tirasan, when they would leave from the Mizbeach, Ma'ino Imrim, what would they say? Yofi lach mizbeach, yofi lach mizbeach, yofi from yofeh, beautiful, lach to you, it's mizbeach. You look great, dressed in your arabas. And Rabbi Eliezer Omer, l'ka v'lach mizbeach, to Hashem and to you mizbeach, l'ka v'lach mizbeach, to Hashem and to you mizbeach. Right, yud and hey being the shortened version, half of Hashem, same yud and hey, but hey. So that was what they were saying, that's not just for the mizbeach, but it's actually for Hashem and for you, the mizbeach. K'maseo b'chol kach maseo b'shabbos. Just like they would do it in a weekday, so too they would do it on Shabbos. But the one difference was that they had to collect, they had to pick the Aravis from before Shabbos. And they would put them on these platforms, on these, what exactly were they? The gigiyos were some kind of bowls or containers that they used to fill with water so that they wouldn't dry out. There it is. There's Rashi. Rashi calls them, I don't know, kovish, whatever it is, shalzav, meleas mayim. They were filled with water. So they would... So on Shabbos, k'maseh b'chol kach maseh b'Shabbos, Ella Shahayu Malakana Sami Erev, but they had to collect them and pick them from Erev Shabbos. Menichan Oisan, they would place them, Begigia Shel Zav, in these bowls, these hairs of gold, Kadesh Lichmashu, so they wouldn't get dried out. Yerchem Breiko, Emir, Yerchem Breiko says, Chariah Shel Dak El Hayu. They were palm branches. Mevian, Hayu Mevian, they used to bring. And they would be chayvet them
So what's really interesting about this is that, if you remember, chavad we had before, and Rashi said that it means to be menaneya. Here, seems to be pretty clear that that's not the pshat. You don't wave them on the floor, but it sounds like they would bang them on the floor. On the sides of them is there. So that's where we have this idea of chibut arava, that chayvtin has, depending on how you're saying it, it could have two meanings. It could mean to wave, and it could mean to bang them. But in any case, so it says that, Yechon ben Baraka says that there were these branches of Dekel. Dekel is a palm tree, of course. Hayomevien, they would bring, and chayvtin oysen bakarka, they would smack them on the ground, v'tziri hamizbeach, on the sides of the mizbeach. V'oysayom, nikra chibut charyes. And that day was called the smacking of the branches day. Miyad, immediately, tinoika shayim tenes lula vehen, the young kids would, well, there are two ways to understand this. Rashi's understanding is shayim tenes lula vehen, hagdoilim shayim tenes lula vehen, hakatanim miyadam b'shvi, that the gdoilim would remove the lulavim from the little kids on the shvi. So to back up in the Mishnah, it says, "Cities of Oisayom Nikra Chibud Charyos Miad Tinoikos Shem Tinas Luvayan." So, according to this way to read it, it's from the hands of the Tinoikos, the older people would remove their luvim, Voichnas Sargehan, and eat the children's asrogim. So, Rashi writes something very interesting. That Beimedavar, the Rashi Dibur Masav, Voichnas Sargehan, Shel Tinoikos. That the Gedolim would eat the Asregim of the children. This is not a problem of stealing. It's not also a problem of causing fights. That was something that they did all the time due to Simcha. So that's Rashi's pshat. There's another way to look at it also. This is what the children were doing and not the Gedolim. But either way, you know, what a fun day it was. So that is the Mishnah. The Gemara says, Tana, we learn, Makayim Klanya Hava. The place that we referred to in the Mishnah as Moitza, at least to get the Arabis from, it was a Makam Klanya. Makam Klanya, Rashi says, Klanya Ben Chorin Min Hamas Shel Melech. It was a Ben Chorin, right? Ben Chorin is the opposite of a slave. A free person. So what does it mean that the land is free? It means that the land is free from the Mas. The Mas means a tax. That this particular area was exempt from the taxes of the king. V'tana didan, my tana kar le moitza. So our tana, why does he call it moitza? Apparently that wasn't its name or whatever it is. It wasn't, why does he call it that particular name moitza, or why did it become called moitza? I did a mifik mikarga de malka. Once or after it has mifik, remember our word poik. Once it has left from the tax of the Malka, Malka is the king. With an Aleph at the end, it means it's Aramaic. In Hebrew, Malka with a Hey at the end means the queen. In Aramaic, Malka with an Aleph means king. Since it's been exempt from the tax of the king, Karilei Moitza. From Moitza, meaning like Yotze, it was Moitza. It had been removed from the requirements of taxes. And then they would come, and they would stand up the Aravis on the sides of the Mizbeach. Tano, that's what the Mishnah told us, Tano. Rabbis Baruchais, Megavoyais, Chadasar, Amo. They were many of them. It wasn't just a couple. And they were very long. And they were so tall that they're, how exactly were they? Megavoyais, they were tall, Chadasar, Amo, which is 1 and 10, 11 Amis. Why? Why were they 11 Amis? Kidei. In order that you goychois al hamizbeach amo, they would be goychois on the mizbeach and amo. What's goychois? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi, three lines under where it says Gemara. Kedesh you goychois al hamizbeach. That's Rashi's Girsa Garcina. Goychois means moitois. To be moitois, to be bent over. So they were bent over. In other words, they were sticking on top of the mizbeach high enough that they were bent over the Mizbeach as well, one Amma. Again, in the Gemara it says, V'gubayis Amma, kidei, sheyu goyches al Mizbeach Amma. So the necessity for the Aravis to be 11 Ammas long, which is, you know, that's pretty long. Let's assume that an Amma
is about a foot and a half, right? It may even be more than that, certainly according to the Chazon Ish. But if we'll be, right, let's take tzitzis, for example. So tzitzis are supposed to be an amma from where the hole ends. So he says, there should be an amma of material from where the hole ends, your talus cotton. So then, according to Rechaim Noah, so tzitzis is supposed to be 18 inches. According to the Chazon Ish, it's basically 22 inches. So that would mean that an amma is about a foot and a half, according to Rechaim Noah. According to Chazon Ish, it's even more, it's almost 2 feet. So let's take the more mikol dekashita. Let's take the more lenient one. So if you say it's a foot and a half, so how much is 10 amas? It's 15 feet. So we're talking about over 15 feet. Those are some nicer rabbis. So they were 11 amas high. So they would be bent over the mizbeach and amas as well. Said in the name of Mar Zutra, Shemamino, we hear from here, Al Hayasoid Manach Lahu, that they must have put, they must have stood up these Aravis on what's called the Yasoid of the Mizbeach. Now, the Yasoid means, of course, the foundation, but specifically when it comes to the Mizbeach, there was something called a Yasoid that went around the two sides of the Mizbeach. One side of the Mizbeach had a ramp, the Kevesh, that went up to it. The back and the, I guess if you're walking up the Kevesh, the left side. So the back and the left side of the Mizbeach, in other words, the side that's facing the Ulam, the Heichal, and the back of the Mizbeach, those two sides had what called a Yesoid on them. That was a base of the Mizbeach that stuck out in Amma more than the rest of the Mizbeach. So if you have a Gemara that has pictures, otherwise, we could try to draw it on the board at a different time. But the Gemara wants to say, you see from here, that they must have stood up the Aravis on the Yesoid of the Mizbeach. Now, that would also seem to mean that they didn't put them on one side. Or they did, but they didn't stick up a tie. But in any case, they stuck them on the Yesoid. How do you know? Al Yesoid Manach Luhu. They placed them. Because if you would think to say that they put them on the ground, let's see. It went up in Amma and went in, literally to enter, right? Went in an Amma. That is the Yesoid. So in other words, if you are trying to draw a picture of the Mizbeach in your mind, so first, the materials that the Mizbeach was made out of went up like a step, one Amma, and then went in an Amma. So we have an amma high and an amma that it went in like a step. Alachamesh, from that indentation, from that step, then it went up 5 ammas. Vekanas amma, and again went in another amma like a step. Zehu soivev. That's what's called the part that you could go around the mizbeach. Ala shalosh, then it went up another 3 ammas. Zehu makam makarnis. That is the place where the horns or the corners were of the mizbeach. So what do we have so far? You have the Yesoid, which is 1. You have the Soivev, which is 5. So that's 6 Amis. You have another 3 until you get to the horns. So 6 plus 3 is 9. So then the Karnos, the horns, stuck up another Amma. So total from the floor to the top of the corners of the Mizbeach, which there were only 4. They didn't go all the way across. They were basically horns sticking up on the 4 corners. That is a total of 10 amas high. So in other words, most of the Mizbeach was 9 amas high, and then where the karnos were another amma. Okay, so the Gemara says, Goychos l'gav Mizbeach, echemash gachas la, hanging over an amma on top of the Mizbeach, how do you find it? If they were on the floor, and they were 11 amas high, so then they would go up. And by the way, there's an angle as well that they have to be leaning, so that's going to kill a lot of the area also, not going straight, because like we said, it's an amma in, and then another amma in, so you have at least 2 ammas that it's at an angle going out. That's 3 feet that it's bent over. So you're not going to have enough to have an amma of aravis actually hanging over the mizbeach when you do the math. El alav, is it not? Shema mina, you hear from here. Ayesoid monach lahu, that on the Yesoid, right? Ayesoid means on the Yesoid, monach, they placed lahu, them, the Aravis, Shmami. No, yeah, you hear from here. The only way for there to be an amma of bent over Aravis is if they were one amma already off of the ground, and then leaning up against the Mizbeach. Amar Rabbi Yavo, Maikra, what Patek is Merames to this idea? That what? Says Rashi, one line up from the bottom, Maikra, the Oilois Lamala Mina Mizbeach. How do you know that they went on top of the Mizbeach, that they went up so high? Shenemar, and now the Gemara proceeds to quote a Pasuk, which is going to list a bunch of drushas on. As the Pasuk says, Yisru Chag ba'avoy sim ad karnois ha-Mizbeach. So we say that in Halel. What's Yisru Chag ba'avoy sim? So that's a very good question. So the Gemara has a few interpretations of it now that it's going to give us. And here the Gemara says, Yisru Chag ba'avoy sim, and Rashi, two lines up from the bottom, be'ilanois. That avoisim refers to trees or branches, and Rashi goes on to say isru kamo hikifu, asirli gefen. That you have also this word isru can also refer to encircling. Now, usually we interpret it to mean asur is to bind something or to tie something up. That's why something is prohibited. When we say asur, means to tie it up and bound. There's what's called la'asor and la'hatir. La'hatir, mutar, is to untie, to unbind something, and la'asor is to bind something. But at the same time, if something is bound, the way you bind something is by tying it up. The whole thing is tied up, so it's encircled. It's tied up all the way around. So the word la'asor can mean to bind something, or it can mean to totally encircle something, and thereby bind it. But it would mean it's encircled. So according to that interpretation, the pasuk means Yisru Chag ba'avoisim, to encircle on the Chag something with avoisim, which Rashi says we're interpreting to mean trees. So Yisru Chag ba'avoisim on Chag, we encircle it with trees, ad karnois ha-mizbeach, all the way up to the horns of the Mizbeach, which of course rise in Amo above the Mizbeach, so that's how high up these avoisim, the Aravis, were going. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Elazar, anyone who takes a lulav in its binding, and a hadas in its binding, HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers such a person, knows he's doing the right thing, he's taking his lulav and his hadasim, so it's as if he built a mizbeach and he was makriv a korban. Why would you say that it's like he built a mizbeach and he was makriv a korban on it? Shneemar. Yisru Chag ba'avoisim ad karnois ha-mizbeach. That here, Yisru means the bindings, the tying up. On the Chag, he has his tied up avoisim, his tied up branches. And it's even more relevant to Hadas, because it's Anaf Eitz Avois. So that is a branch of this tree that's called an Avois tree. So that makes even more sense. But Yisru Chag ba'avoisim, one who takes his binded Hadasim and his Lulav, ad karnois ha-mizbeach, which here we're interpreting to mean it's as if he is going to the Karnois HaMizbeach. Rashi says, the second from the top, Mem Heim and Beis, Rashi says, Ad Karnois Harehu Lochem Kematan Domim Sheba Karnois HaMizbeach. It's like you put the proper blood, sprinkle the proper blood on the Karnois HaMizbeach, the corners of the Mizbeach. Am Rabbi Yirmiyah Mishan Rishamin Ben Yechai. Rabbi Yirmiyah said in the name of Rishamin Ben Yechai. Rabbi Yechanan Mishan Mishan Mechuzi. Mishan Yechanan Hamachusi. Kala Eze Isur Lechag Ba'achila B'shasiya. Ma'ala V'lavakasav Ki Lubana Mizbeach V'kibbal Karban. Whoever does what's called an Isur for Chag with eating and drinking, so the Torah again considers about him like he built a mizbeach and was makar b'korban shneimar isru chag ba'avisim ad karnois ha-mizbeach. Whoever accomplishes this thing called isru chag with avoisim, so also he's ad karnois ha-mizbeach. He's also doing this sprinkling of the blood as if he sprinkled the blood on his mizbeach. So what's going on over here? So Rashi says, v'achila v'shesia. Well, so first Rashi says, Yisur l'chag. Yisur again here means an aguda, meaning to bind something up, to tie something up, or maybe to be preventative, we'll have to see. V'achila v'shasiyah, says Rashi, shekar l'chag oineg ma'achu v'meshta, that he calls, he refers to the chag with oineg. He has a tremendous pleasure during Yom Tov, with eating and with drinking. V'ish amrim yom shal achar ha-chag. And some say that Yisur refers to what we call Yisru l'chag. V'avoisim. Behemas avos shmanos, that avosim means things that are very thick, very fat. So it's fat animals and they're shamein, fat. So what's going on over here? So there are two interpretations that Rashi is already offering by Chilav Shasiyah, that either is talking about Anyan Tov proper or is talking about the day after. What does it mean? So two possibilities. When we talk about, we'll talk about after Yom Tov first. If it's after Yom Tov, it means to say that a person holds himself back and treats the day after Yom Tov also like it's a certain degree of Yom Tov. In other words, he's not ready to just abandon Yom Tov and leave Yom Tov. He wants to somehow maintain some of Yom Tov with him, so he has what's called Isru Chag. So if a person has Isru Chag ba'avoisim, which all with all kinds of achila v'shasiya, that he has an extra day that he doesn't want to just run away from Yom Tov, so that's as if he built a mizbeach and was makriv on it. That's Rashi's second understanding, that it's referring to Isru Chag. The other understanding is that it's talking about Yom Tov itself, and that when a person is la'asis, being ma'aser himself, with achila v'shasiyah, that he doesn't work, he doesn't do anything else, he focuses on demonstrating his pleasure and excitement for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Yomim Toivim, and for Yetzias Mitzrayim that it represents, etc., etc. So then he is as if he had built a mizbeach and been makriv a korban on it. There are others that want to say that the Isru Chag ba'avoisim means that he has binded himself up a little bit with all of the things that he's enjoying. That instead of going out of losing himself in the achila v'shasiyah and it becoming something that is very physical, very animalistic, that he binds himself in his pleasure, that he's able to hold himself back and not just go crazy, but eat in a way that is l'kavod yantif and oinig yantif, and not in a way that is l'kavod his belly and oinig simply for his belly. Amar Chizkiah, Amar Rirmiyah, Mishim Rishon Baruchai. Now that the Gemara got involved with Chizkiah, the name of Rirmiyah, the name of Rishon Baruchai, so it quotes a few things in the name of Rishon Baruchai. All mitzvahs that a person is being yotze with them, he's only yotze derech gidei lasan in the manner in which they grow. So that's obviously very relevant to the Arbut Minim, and that is our minig, that the whole world takes the esrog upside down before they make the bracha and turn the esrog right side up in order to be yotze the mitzvah. Because the Gemara tells us right here that you're not yotze unless it's the derech that it grows, the manner in which it grows. And so if you hold the extra upside down, you can't be yotze. So in order to make our bracha over lasiyasan, that the bracha should be immediately prior to the performance of the mitzvah, because otherwise, if you're holding the esrog right side up, you're already yotze the mitzvah. How can you say a bracha? So the best thing to do, this is our minig anyway, and we saw the tosis a little while back, that if you hold the esrog upside down, so you can make the bracha right before you do the mitzvah by turning the esrog right side up. So all mitzvahs are like that, and any mitzvahs have to do with something that grows from the ground, not so many of them. So then a person can only be yotzei derech delas in the manner in which it grows in emar, ateshitim oimdim. That when they built the Mishkan, the krushim were very, very large, right? That's why you had to be very careful. That's why they were called krushim, because if you weren't careful, they would crush him. Anyway, so it says, ateshitim oimdim, that they were supposed to be shitim wood that were standing up straight. So pashup shan in the pasuk is that it means they can't be leaning down on the sides. I mean, you can imagine building the Mishkan in one of two ways. You could have the Krushim going straight up and down like pillars, or you could have them on their sides, and you could stack them on top of each other. So that's what you should do on them. They have to be standing like pillars, and you don't stack them on their sides. But the Gemara has a drush over here, and says, what else does it mean? Tani nami huachi. It means they have to be derech de lasan. Atei shitim oimdim, sho'imdim derech de lasan. But the Bryce also says the same thing, that it means that they're standing up in the manner in which they grow. So Pashvjat, right? That they're not on their sides, they're standing up like pillars, because that's the same way in which the trees grew. Dover Acher, another pshat, Oyim Dim Shemamid, and it's Tzipuyon. The other pshat is that you are Ma'amid the Tzipuy. In other words, Tzipuy means the cover, the coating of gold. All of the krushim were made out of this wood, but they were coated in gold. So when we imagine coating in gold, we assume they had some sort of liquid gold they painted on. But it's not the pshat. The pshat is that they had sheets of gold that were then attached to the krushim. The other possibility would be that you have freestanding golden krushim. They were hollow, and that the krushim would fit into them like almost kind of like a socket type of thing, but they would cover them. That's not the pshat. That what we're saying now is atzei shidim oimdim, that oimdim here is being interpreted as ma'amidin, that they caused to stand the tzipui on their cover. In other words, that they weren't slid into pre-existing, like a box almost, of gold. but rather that the gold was hammered onto the atzei shittim with golden nails, and they were the crushim were ma'amid the gold. In other words, the gold could not stand on its own; it only stayed where it was because it was nailed into the crushim. Dover acher, another interpretation of the pasuk, oimdim. What does it mean, oimdim? Shema toimer avad sivram uvatel sichuyon. Maybe you'll say that after the Mishkan was nignaz, so we lost sivram and it has been nullified sichuyon. What does that mean? So Rashi writes, avad sivram mishenignaz oil moyed batel olamis, that when the oil moyed, meaning the Mishkan, was stored away after the Beis HaMikdash was built, so then all of the parts of the Mishkan were stored away because it was not used anymore. They certainly weren't disposed of in any way. They were kept. They were nignaz, or hidden away. So maybe we have lost, Rashi writes, Sichuyam, Toichaltam, Umabatam, all of our anticipation, all of our outlook. And Rashi gives you proof that that's what it means. That maybe after it's gone, so we've lost all hope of ever seemingly getting it back. Talmud Loimar, comes to teach the Atzei Shittim Oimdim, that they were Shittim, what that standing, what does it mean? Shoimdim lo ilam ol me'amamim, that they exist forever. So everybody wants to know what exactly is going on in this Gemara. What's the Gemara trying to say? That maybe once the Mishkan was Nignaz, so then we lost all hope of ever getting it back? What do you mean getting it back? What are we going to do with it? Really, we want the Beis HaMikdash back. We want Mashiach and the Beis HaMikdash. So what's going on with the Mishkan? So there are different approaches to answer this question. The Ben Yoyada, which kind of helps us with the rest of the Gemara, is a very Kabbalistic explanation of this Gemara, that the Mishkan itself actually represents Nevi'im and represents the expression of Malchus in the world. So he has a very Kabbalistic explanation, that it actually is not a reference to the Mishkan. It means to say that perhaps when the Mishkan was hidden away, or perhaps when Nevuah, when Nevi'im were hidden away, so we've sort of lost all the hope of our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and maybe we can't really communicate, and we're kind of stuck in a way that's very, very distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the answer is no. You should know that there is always people available to impart the Dvar Hashem to us. There are always going to be great tzaddikim in the world that can impart the Dvar Hashem, number one, and number two, can be machaper for us. As we know, we brought Korbanos, and that was one of the most fundamental purposes of the Mishkan, was to gain kapara for Kalal Yisrael. That's what Avraham Avinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do I know? B'mayadaki Yirashena. Right? The famous Ramban says that Avraham Avinu should never have said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how do I know that my sons are going to inherit the land Hashem promised in Brisvein HaMasarim, that your children are going to get Eretz Yisrael? What's he asking? B'mayadaki Yirashena. So the Gemara in Megillah interprets that not in a negative way. The Ramban interprets it as a negative. That's why his children had to go to Mitzrayim, because Avraham Avinu doubted HaKadosh Baruch Hu and asked, how do I know that my children are going to get Eretz Yisrael? That's the Ramban. The Gemara says differently. The Gemara says that Avraham Avinu is asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how do I know they're not going to lose it? If they do have Eretz, they do sins, so then maybe they're going to lose all of this. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kachli, and you take from me all of these different karbanos, bring karbanos. What's the message to Avraham Avinu? That karbanos are going to be the way to keep the Shekhinah with us and to atone for Kalal Yisrael. So the Beis HaMikdash was there to make sure that we don't lose Eretz Yisrael. So of course Avraham Avinu says, okay, but that's very good. What happens if the Beis HaMikdash gets destroyed? And that's when the Gemara says that Misham Parm Sfasenu, that as long as we learn about karbanos, then we have the Zuchus as if to some extent that we have brought them. So korbanos are very critical. So the way the Ben Yoda basically interprets this Gemara is that the Mishkan is a reference to Nevi'im that can impart the Dvar Hashem and also can allow kapara for Klal Yisrael, telling them what they did wrong and even maybe atoning for them through various forms of Yisurim. So don't think that when Nevi'im are gone, when the Mishkan, which represents Nevi'im, are gone, that there's no hope. No, atzei shitim oimdim, that they will always be around the Olam Olamei Olamim. Which leads us to the next part of the Gemara according to the interpretation. I am able to exempt the entire world from judgment, from the time that I was created, that I was born, until now. And if with Eliezer, my son, with me,
from not my birthday, but from the day the whole world was created until now. And if we had Yosem ben Uziyo, if he was with us, so then from the day the world came into being until the end of the world. Somehow they're able to gain atonement for all of Klal Yisrael for the entire time of the world. Many, many questions on this Gemara, but one of them is, okay, so then that, at least one way to understand it a little bit, is that which is what's going on in the Gemara, there is always an avenue of Kapara, there's always going to be Tzadikim, that somehow have the capacity to gain atonement for Klal Yisrael, just like the Mishkan. I've seen what's referred to as B'nai Aliyah, the greatest of Tzadikim, and there are very few. If there are 1,000 Tzadikim, me and my son are among them. If there are only 100, me and my son are among them. If there are only 2, and me and my son are them. Okay, Gemara asks, really, are there so few tzaddikim? V'ha'amarava tamnei sari alfei darahava dekamikot yabrichu. There are 18,000 that are what's referred to as Dara, which means some kind of row in front of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. How does he know? How does Rabbah know that there are 18,000 tzaddikim lined up in front of Hashem? Shneimar pasuk nichazko, saviv shmeinasar elef, that around him were 18,000. So, okay, apparently that's supposed to mean that there are 18,000 tzaddikim on such a madrega of what he refers to as B'nai Aliyah. So our answer is, Lekasha had the mistakli baspaklaria miira, for the lemistakli baspaklaria hamiira. Aspaklaria miira or not miira? I mean, aspaklaria means some kind of window that those great tzaddikim who have insights into Hakadosh Baruch Hu or Hakadosh Baruch Hu speaks to them, gives them some sort of information. So the clarity of the information that they have insights into to Hakadosh Baruch Hu can have one of two forms. It can have the form of a window or a window pane that is me'ira, that is clear or is lightened. And some have an aspaklaria that is not me'ira, that is not clear, it's not lightened. So those who have an aspaklaria that's not so me'ira, it's okay, you got 18,000 in there. But those who have aspaklaria, me'ira, really have a clarity, so those are much less. Those who are able to see in this clear window are so few. Are they so few, so much? This is the famous Gemara that says there are Lamed Vav Tzadikim all the time. The world, Lo Pachas Alma, the world does not have less. Mitlasin v'shisa, right? Tlasin is shalosh, right? The saf and the shin switch. Mishloshtin, shloshtin, from 30. V'shisa and 6. Tzadiki, tzadikem, tzadikei demekabli apeshchina, they receive the face of the shchina b'chol yom every single day. So they're always 36. These great tzadik, the lamed vavniks, they call them. Shneimar ashe kolchoche loy. Rich, wealthy are all those who reach out, who are always turning towards the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Loi is Begamatria. Loi Begamatria, Tlasna Rishisa, Havu. Loi is Begamatria 36. So that means Ashrei Kol Choche, how many are these Choche Hashem, those who are always reaching out to Kaddish Baruch Hu? So the answer is 36. So how could it be there's so few? There's only two. What does that mean? Lekasha had Eili Bivar Haidel Livar. Var here means Rishus, permission. That the ones who don't have permission to just approach a Kaddish Baruch Hu whenever they want, so then you'll always have 36. But if you're asking about those who can go to a Kaddish Baruch Hu and show up without Rishus, without permission, so then in a Hanami, so that is very, very few. that's only going to be, even theoretically, two of them. That would be Rishon Baruch Hai and his son.